Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, it's Thursday and it feels like Friday, and I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
Why does it feel like Friday? You didn't even work Monday. I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for June 14th, 2012, episode 423. Good morning, Horse World.
Good morning.
It's Thursday.
Let's kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
Your presence is required on the command deck.
Why it would seem like Friday to you when clearly it is Thursday and you didn't work Monday. Do you have a response?
It just feels like a Friday. It just feels like I'm all pumped up and ready to go. I think I'm ready for the weekend and I got one more day yet. Can I get through Thursday?
Well, you know what? I just realized, too, that because I've been out of town and I'm a little bit behind, I thought, you know, I'm going to do a horse trial coming up in July. And I thought, you know, I should probably go online and try to see when I'm supposed to enter in said horse trials. This is the Coconino County Horse Trials up in Flagstaff, Arizona in July. So Flagstaff, very cool, great break. I just realized I have like 3 days to enter, and seriously, I'm entering my first training level. Yay! What do you think?
I think you got a month to practice. That's good.
I think that practicing is going to be a little bit of a problem because it's 120 degrees here. How the hell am I supposed to get my horse fit for training level competition in this desert? I don't understand.
Well,
I'm going to have to move to Flagstaff.
Couldn't you just do it? You know, you should be able to just do about a quarter of the work, and it would equal that of a normal place with normal temperature, shouldn't it? It's like an intense workout.
Okay, I could see that you would think that. However, the problem is that Flagstaff is actually at a 7,000-foot elevation, so you can't even breathe up there. So you actually have to be a little overfit for this kind of thing, and I'm screwed. He's had 3 weeks off. I've lunged him 2 days and took him on a trail ride since I've been back. Like, seriously, we've got to figure something out. And the problem is, Glenn, that most people, when they live in Phoenix and they're getting a horse fit for competition, they maybe get on their horse at 5, 6 o'clock in the morning. Well, it is 6 o'clock in the morning right now, and where am I? Sitting here doing this show. So I think what I'm going to have to do is we're going to have to change the time of this radio show until after this competition so I can get up and ride early enough and get my horse fit.
Okay.
What do you think?
Well, we could do it from 7:30 to 9 hour time, and it would end just in time for you to go outside.
That wasn't really where I was going.
I was waiting to see what you'd say.
That wasn't the angle.
You told me
that.
Did you not tell me this morning? Okay, in the court of law now, you're under oath. Did you not tell me this morning that it gets light there at 4:30 in the morning?
No, it got light at 4:45, and I start reading for the show at 5 a.m. So that would give me 15 minutes to go out and get my horse tacked up, ride him, cool him down, and put him away. And
well,
that's not going to cut it.
We'll have to switch it to your old hours when you used to work radio in Atlanta.
Yeah, I don't want to do that either because that was 2:30 in the morning when I got up, and no one can live like that. But you know what? I'd be happy to get up at 2:30 if you'll pay me what they paid me when I worked in Atlanta.
All right, looks like we're going to need a substitute co-host. So Jamie's show is done. If anybody would like to volunteer, you can send me an email.
I have not.
You can do
fired.
What Wendy does. Just do what Wendy does. And before she's getting ready for one of her big shows and she's doing her combined driving thing, she starts practicing her dressage test 2 days ahead. And that's all she – 2 days. That's all she gives it. 2 days ahead, she practices, and then she goes and does it. That's all you need, 2 days.
How successful is she with that whole
She wins
idea.
A lot. Now, there's a problem with that scenario, and the problem is that her horses are always at the trainers getting trained all the time, so she's not training her own horses.
Oh, come on, then. Jeez. Ridiculous. I just have to send my horse to the trainer. And you know what? If I could send my horse to Barb and be like, hey, ride my horse every day, get him fit, get him ready to compete, and I'll just show up. Oh, wouldn't that be nice? Holy moly.
All you have to do is be a veterinarian and a traditional Chinese medicine doctor.
Yeah,
just a few more years of school, Jamie. That's all.
you just threw her under the bus is what you did.
She says it on the show. Wendy doesn't hide it. She's going to be on here in a little bit anyway, so you can bust her chops about it. But she's going to be on talking about dolphins and mammals. But first, we have to go to Jennifer, find out exactly what the rest of the stuff is on today's show.
On today's Thrilled is Thursday because Friday comes next edition, everybody, Chinese medicine vet,
like
Dr.
That.
Wendy Ying, stopped by first thing this morning to give us a report on why she and about a dozen of her veterinary counterparts spent the past week in a bathing suit. Not the same bathing suit, they each had their own. Next up, we'll be taking an inside look at the how and why of hoof boots. And to round out today's exploration into all
I'm
things
sorry,
equestrian.
What did you say? Did you just say
what?
Hoof boot? What the hell is a hoof boot? You guys are
Well, you're just going to have to tune into the show and find out.
Oh, good Lord.
We're going to find out how they say it. That's what we're going to do. All right, we need to stop interrupting Jennifer. Sorry.
Okay. May I continue?
Yes, you may.
And to round out today's exploration into all things equestrian, the Chronicle of the Horse helps us take a look back at the 60s and 70s. If you thought disco fashion was out there, just wait until you hear about what show jumping legend Buddy Brown was wearing in the 70s. And here we go. Happy 237th birthday to the United States Army. Oh, no! Go!
Well, happy birthday to the Army. You know, we have a bunch of family members in our family that are ex-Army and current Army. So happy birthday to all of them. Now, doesn't it feel like a Friday? You can't admit it. It kind of feels like a freestyle Friday here on the show. We're just going to make it.
Okay, and then tomorrow it feels like we're working on a Saturday. So that'll suck tomorrow.
All right, well, that kind of sucks. We'll let that one go. My daily winning. Well, my daily winning goes out to all of those people, all of those many, 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 many surprisingly large number of people who posted about My Little Ponies on our Facebook page yesterday. Did that not shock you, too? It had to shock you a little bit.
You know, Glenn, I think that hearing that you had never heard of, not that you would have them, but that you and Jennifer never had heard of or had My Little Ponies was the most shocking to me. And so I put it out there to our horse equestrian friendly nation on Facebook. And now, was I surprised with their responses? No. Was I surprised with how many people responded? Yes.
We had tons. And, you know, it always amazes me. We post a lot of things on Facebook during the show, and it always shocks me the things that, go, you know, really take off. And My Little Ponies was one of them. And, of course, people are busting on me. Hey, look, I graduated in 1980 from high school. These things came out in the 80s, after I graduated from high school. I was not thinking about My Little Ponies at that point in my life. So, but I have to tell you, do you know what a brony is? B-R-O-N-Y.
A brony. I can't say that I can place that right now.
Okay. A brony is an adult supporter of the My Little Pony show. They're called bronies. And how do I know that? Because there was an online effort to raise funds to make a documentary dedicated to the adult fans of the animated television series My Little Pony Friendship is Magic. Okay. They went on to Kickstarter. Now, get this. They went on to Kickstarter, which we know what that is because of Templeton Thompson. And they went on to Kickstarter, this place where you raise money to do projects. And they wanted to, documentary makers wanted to raise $60,000 to make this documentary. In 2 days, the bronies kicked in $350,000 on Kickstarter.
Are you kidding me?
To make a documentary about adults who have nothing better to do than to watch My Little Pony. I'm sorry, this is some kind of sickness. It's some kind of sickness. I think there's something going on here. We need an investigation by the Congress to find out why exactly this is happening. I'm just saying.
You know, I'm disappointed that you took the theme song to My Little Pony out of my play buttons, because then I'll just have to sing it. My Little Pony,
oh,
My
God.
Little Pony, na 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 na, My Little Pony.
You know what we talked about yesterday when you talked about your trip and went too far? There you go. That's too far.
Yeah, sorry.
And now the part that really bugs me a little bit more is in the article. It says a brony is typically a male viewer or fan of My Little Pony show or franchise, the word being a combination of bro and pony. However, bronies may also include female adult fans. I am not going to say any more about this whole topic because it will get me in trouble and I will get emails or flamed on Facebook worse than I already have been. So I'm just going to go on now and hit this.
That must be for me. Well, my Daily Whinny is completely not horse-related, but something amazing happened last night in the world of baseball, and I just have to point it out because I was sitting there watching it with my husband, who also was texting back and forth with his brother, and his dad was calling, who lives in Oklahoma, and it was like 10 o'clock at night our time, so it was like midnight his time. Last night, Matt Cain for the San Francisco Giants pitched a perfect game. Perfect game, Glenn. Do you know how many of those have actually happened in the 120 years of Giants baseball? Zero. Do you know how many perfect games have been pitched in the history of baseball? 22. Do you know how many games have been played in baseball? Like a billion. 22. I witnessed one last night. Matt Cain gets my Daily Whinny. I'm sure that's the highlight of his day today is finding out that he got my Daily Whinny. So Matt Cain,
well,
San Francisco Giants, woo-woo!
Excuse my stupidity, but everybody that listens to the show knows
oh,
I'm
God.
Not a baseball fan in any way,
oh,
shape,
God.
Or form. But a perfect
You're
game, how is it different than a no-hitter?
A no-hitter is when nobody gets a hit. But
yeah, I got
there
that part.
Be, yeah, but there can be somebody on base. So he can walk
so
somebody.
He can walk okay.
Correct. Now, this means that not one person got on base at all. He pitched a perfect game. There were some defensive plays, like their center fielder. ESPN is going to have a field day with these pictures of this guy just hitting the wall, diving, hitting the dirt, and made the catch. It was just awesome. So, yeah, nobody got on base at all. No hits, no walks, no nothing.
And does
no
he have
errors.
To pitch the whole game?
whole entire game. He threw 120 pitches last night. That's like really a, that's a lot.
He better hope his contract is up for renewal next year.
Seriously, they probably talked a little bit about that afterwards. Hey, you know what? We're going to keep you around. I'm just going to go ahead and re-up your contract now. Yeah, anyway.
Well, good.
Awesome.
Here, I'll give this because, you know, I don't cheer for, I don't really cheer for baseball that much, but I'll give you this one for that.
Well deserved.
Well, something we talked about last week when Wendy co-hosted the show before she was heading off for her latest continuing education class, Dr. Wendy Ying of the Driving Radio Show. She was heading off to a mammal continuing education class on dolphins and mammals, and we have her on the air right now. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning, Glenn and Jamie. How are you doing?
Morning.
Good. So you've got to tell us about how it was swimming with the fish, I mean mammals.
Well, I have to bring up some other topic first.
Uh-oh.
I heard you talking about bronies, and I don't
yes.
know if you know this, but I am going to attend the brony convention in Seattle in August with my sister.
What?
I know.
What?
I don't get it either. You know what? I've said to them, my sister and my little brother are totally into this, like, My Little Pony for grown-ups. And they're kind of like goth My Little Ponies. And I was like, you kids, I have a barn full of real ponies. Why are, and they won't come out to the barn, but they like these My Little Ponies, which I don't get at all.
I'm with you. I don't get it either. I'm with you.
Yeah, but you're going. You actually bought a plane ticket to Seattle to go to this convention to see what it's all about. That's how these creepy little fantasy and fetish things start.
I know, but the only saving grace was that I heard on your show just earlier that the majority of people going are men. But however, what kind of geeks am I going to meet at this thing?
Seriously, dude, that's not the kind of men you want to meet. Just
I know,
so you know,
I know. But you know what? I'm putting in my time as a good sister. I sometimes have to go to these geeky conventions. I'm usually the only one wearing lipstick, but I'm going to go anyway.
Can I just point something out to the audience here? I haven't said a thing about any of this. This was the two of them. I'm out of this.
I know. Okay, I'll move on to my other thing.
No, because now I have to ask, do you go to, like, the Star Wars conventions and dress up as Princess Leia in, like, the sexy outfit or stuff like that?
Well, I would. If I could do that, I would definitely go as Princess Leia in the, you know, when she's a slave girl for Jabba the Hutt on the chain.
Yeah, the gold bikini. Yeah.
Yeah, and I actually have a friend that does not look like Jabba the Hutt. He's actually much hotter than I was going to make hold the chain, but I'm not going to that. But I am going to this anime convention in Los Angeles, and my sister is picking out, I don't know any anime characters, so she's picking out some anime characters. So. And I'll have blue hair. That's all I know.
You guys need to rethink your relationship, you and your sister. But that's cool. Let's get back to this. How exactly do dolphins get acupuncture? Tell me more.
Well, actually, this conference wasn't actually a Chinese medicine conference. This was a course that's put on for veterinarians and vet students. It's actually a block in the veterinary training at US. But it was like half students and half veterinarians that are out in the field. And it's for people
Wendy,
that want to
hold
do...
Hold on.
Yeah.
One second, Wendy. We're going to have you call back because we've got a terrible connection.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll call right.
Oh, it got even worse. Just started fading out. She's going to a freaking brony convention. Leave it to Wendy.
I'm sorry,
Wendy.
That's really bizarre. She lives in Florida, and she's flying to Seattle for a My Little Pony creepy guy convention? Okay. I had no idea that this is a whole thing. How did you find out about this whole brony thing, Glenn?
Oh, I don't know. It just came up in my news feed this morning. It was in there because it mentioned horses, and I went, oh, my God, I can't believe that they raised that much money in 2 days.
Okay, I think she's back.
Okay.
I'm back. Can you hear me all right? Nope. Call back.
Can you call back on your phone?
Yeah, I will.
Okay. Oh, that was terrible.
Ooh.
That's even worse than when we get them in from England. That's worse than the England calls sometimes. Yeah, so that's how I heard about the Brony thing. But I really didn't think I'd actually meet someone who was going to the convention.
I would not have expected it. And then, you know, the fact that she's going to an anime convention is kind of disturbing, too. Like, there's some craziness that goes on with that.
I wanted to take pictures, though. Can you imagine the pictures you could get at an anime convention of those costumes?
I don't think you could post them.
That's a good point. That's a good point. That's funny. Hey, while we're waiting for Wendy to come back, one quick thing. I have to tell you, yesterday I talked about Rebecca Hart leading the USEF National Para-Equestrian Championships. She won the United States National Para-Equestrian Championships yesterday with a score of 75.9, and she claimed her fifth national championships, and that also puts her on top of the leaderboard for going to the Olympics. And Jonathan Wentz was in second, and then let's see here, who was in third was Panessa was in third. We talked about her yesterday. So congratulations to all of them, and a super big congratulations to Rebecca, who is a real sweetheart, and as I said, been on the show a number of times. She's the one, if you remember right, I don't know if you were there that day, but she's the one that came on because Starbucks, she works for Starbucks, and they helped sponsor her. They've been really supportive of her quest to go to the Olympics. So
uh-huh.
She's the one that we had on about that.
That's
so congratulations.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Awesome. I guess we lost Wendy. I guess she's not calling back.
I don't know where she went. Oh, there she is. She's back. Hi, Wendy.
I'm back.
All right. Now that's much better.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So you went to a continuing education class. Tell us about it.
Yep. So it was on marine mammals and for vets and vet students. And it was at UF, but we went on tons of trips, and one of the best field trips was swimming with dolphins in St. Augustine.
Oh,
I know. It was so great. But that's a place that's open to the public. It's called Marineland, so anybody can go and swim with dolphins there. But
that's where I got married, was in St. Augustine. Isn't that an awesome town?
It's really beautiful. Yeah, it's really beautiful. So, one of the things that I learned was that you know, like I wanted to do this because I wanted to start volunteering for strandings and things like that. And that I live in Sarasota, because especially with the oil spill, there's been an increase in like dead animals and strandings in the area. And I didn't want to just like not knowing anything about anything, you know. So I took this course. It was really eye opening, and so that's what I'm going to do for the future. Like, just I'm not going to be a marine mammal vet. I'm just going to be part of the stranding corps on call.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, but it was really eye-opening. Like, first of all, it's really fun to be with vet students because they're so, like, you know, enthusiastic and fresh-faced, and they're, you know, starting their careers. And then also it opened my eyes a lot to ways to look at my own equine practice with some different opinions. So it was really good.
Now, you got to meet the dolphin from the movie, right?
Oh, yeah, we met Winter. Winter is at Clearwater Marine Mammal Hospital, and we got to meet her. Her prosthetic worked. So Winter's a dolphin that was from the dolphin's tail, and her tail got wrapped up in a crab pot rope, and it sloughed off. And a doctor, like a human doctor that makes prosthetics, he came to the hospital just on, you know, to come see the dolphins. And he was looking at her, and he decided to make her his prosthetic tail, and that's how that all came about. So in the movie, Morgan Freeman, I think, is the prosthetic doctor. And then
that's
he
really
worked
cool.
with the veterinarians, and the veterinarian on staff is the one that was the leader of our course, Mike Walsh, who, let me tell you now, is like the most adventurous vet I've ever seen in my entire life. I mean,
tell Jamie about the time he went out to help the whales in the ocean that had ropes wrapped around them and what they did.
Jamie is so incredible. Like, you know, I mean, horses are big, and, you know, being a horse, that seems pretty cool. And this guy, he gets called, like, if somebody's out on their boat and they see ropes or whatever, like, sometimes they get caught up in the rope as they swim, the drag of the rope to cut into their body. So that rope has to go or they're going to die. But there's no good way to go up to the whale, sneak up on it, and, like, wrestle it down and take the rope.
We lost her again.
Oh, no.
Oh, she went away. Well, her connection is not great today, no matter how she does it. Am I still with you, Jamie? Are you still here?
You're here. I told you. So basically, you know, obviously he's an adventurous vet if he's like going and putting prosthetic tails on dolphins, which is awesome. And by the way, when I was flying back from Spain, that actually was one of the movies I could have selected for the plane ride. Yes, and because you have those the international flights, you have the TVs right in front of your face. And I thought, you know, I'm not going to watch this because I do not need to be a blubbering, crying mess on the airplane. So I thought, what else can I watch that I won't be such a wreck? So I thought, well, I'll just watch We Bought a Zoo again. Cried the whole time for that one, too. Good Lord, this flight attendant must have thought Chad was beating me.
That's funny. We finally did watch that movie. We bought a zoo. It was too. Yeah, it was. First of all, they didn't show any of the of Dominique zebras. That made me mad. There was none of Dominique zebras in that movie. What happened there? I thought she were her zebras. They were all over the billboards. They were all over everything, and then no zebras. It was basically a chick flick. I was kind of disappointed.
It was totally a chick flick. Why do you think I told you I was crying through the whole thing? It's not because it was like they're like, you know, wrestling animals. It's a sweet family movie. And I'm sorry, Matt Damon is dreamy no matter what role he plays.
I thought it was going to be a comedy, you know, like a slapstick kind of comedy. But I was kind of disappointed it wasn't. Just saying.
No. You're such a guy. Oh, I need slapstick. It needs to be slapstick. It needs to be Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah, so I was, yeah. We didn't see, I haven't seen Dolphin's Tale, though. But what she did say, to finish her story there, she told me yesterday, is that this vet, they would go out on these rubber raft boats, and with boaters and everything, and then they would go out there, but the whales are like four times the size of the boats, and they would use these very large tranquilizer guns with very large tranquilizer darts, and they would have to shoot the whale like four times to get the whale to slow down enough while swimming that they could pull up beside the whale and manually cut these ropes off the whales. Now, how dangerous is that?
Yeah, incredibly dangerous, actually. Did you ever see the movie with the whales where they had to cut them out of the ice and, like, make the Russian ship come and go through? Did you ever see that one? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. We never saw the movie. Is that the one where they had to cut it like miles and miles for the whales to get out?
Yes, and oh my God, you will cry. Well, you won't probably, but women around definitely see that movie too, because I watched that one on the plane and cried the whole time too, and it was just a bit. I mean, but it's really good, and you're like, go America! And then go Russia, go Wales. And I remember when I was watching the movie, I was like, oh, my God, I remember this because my mom bought us Save the Whales T-shirts. Chad's like,
oh,
really? He's like, I lived in Germany at this time. I don't remember it. I'm like, you didn't have a Save the Whales T-shirt? Everybody had Save the Whales T-shirts. All because of this, and that's why it's a movie. So that was another one, and they didn't have to tranquilize any of them. They just swam to their – well, I won't tell you the end of it because it's pretty – awesome.
Don't tell me the end of it. That is what I want to see. I do want to watch that one.
Yeah, you need to watch it. It's really good. It was really, really good. And again, it was one of the ones the flight attendants like, are you okay? I'm like, I'm fine. Keep going. It's fine. Can I have a tissue?
That's funny. Hey, we didn't hear any bad flight stories about the trip. Was it like normal? You actually had normal kind of flights?
Well, you didn't get any Facebook posts that I was stuck on the tarmac or anything like that. So, no, we were good to go. So, international flights, they treat you really well. They give you free beer and you get movies like at your disposal. It's awesome.
Beer? Do they give you free food too?
Yeah, they gave us a meal and everything and a vegetarian meal at that. So it was perfect. But yeah, they say, Chad is like, let's get a beer. I'm like, yeah, that sounds good. And so he gets out his little credit card, and they come by, and he's like, can we get 2 Coronas? And she's like, sure. Hands them to him, walks on. Oh, dude, are you kidding me? Is that free beer? And the person next to us is like, they always give free beer on international flights. I'm like, waitress!
Waitress.
Have another round. I'll have another.
Was there any Corona left by the time you landed on the entire plane?
You know, if I could have stayed awake for the last 2 hours, maybe, I don't know. But having about, 4 or 5 Coronas puts you a little bit to sleep. That and you have to pee a lot. So.
All right, let's take a break for our commercial today. This is from Fleece Works. We appreciate them being a sponsor, and we'll be right back.
Fleeceworks manufactures pure Australian merino sheepskin and merino wool saddle pads and accessories. Their pads produce a vital thermal balancing layer to pull excess moisture and heat away from the horse's back, allowing muscles to work at maximum capacity without overheating. Fleeceworks Australian merino wool is breathable and hydrophilic, able to hold and store 35% of its own weight in liquid. A longtime staple of the medical field, Australian merino fibers have no equal when it comes to delivering a temperature-controlled, pressure-absorbing layer. The Fleeceworks philosophy, minimum bulk, maximum performance, and they have a variety of anatomically correct pads incorporating technologies and designs that address the individual needs of every horse and rider. Ask for Fleeceworks saddle pads and accessories by name at your local tack and feed store, or visit them online at fleeceworks.com.
Thank you to Fleeceworks. We appreciate them being a sponsor. Well, we're waiting for our first guest, or our second guest, actually, to call. Jamie, do you want to play the interview that you did and explain this a little bit?
Yeah. We were just talking about being in Spain, and I got to sit down with Rafael Soto, who is rode for the Olympic team in Spain, and he rode an Andalusian horse, just an absolutely amazing Andalusian horse named Invisor. And you can actually maybe post some one of his musical freestyles, but he won the medal, silver medal in Athens. And this horse, unbelievably impressive. This rider, unbelievably impressive. And he actually is a rider slash trainer at the Royal Andalusian School in Jerez, in Spain. So he just awesome. I got to sit down with him for like 8 minutes. Now, I've got to let you know that we were actually right outside of the Royal School. They have a bar because everybody has a bar in Spain. And it's actually in the school. And we were sitting down at a table, and I got to talk to him, which was a huge honor, and I get to talk to him, but there was several drunk Spaniards at the bar. And so, unfortunately, the drunk Spaniards are very loud. So if you can't hear, I can recap afterwards, because some of the stuff he said was just really amazing. So let's take a listen, and then I'll tell you about my incredibly awkward moment after the interview.
Okay, and this is about 7 minutes long, and as Jamie said, you do have to listen very closely. If you understand Spanish, could you tell us what they were talking about in the background, if we could actually put it on the air? So here we go.
All right. Well, I am Jamie Jennings from Horses in the Morning, and I'm here at the Royal Andalusian School of Equestrian Art, and I'm honored to be sitting here with 3-time Olympic competitor Rafael Soto and silver medalist in dressage in Athens. And you have success training, and you have success teaching and competing at the highest level. And again, we talked about this earlier, but it was tough to hear you. Can you say what this school is for the Americans that are listening that have not been here?
Well, I am very proud of my school, you know. But unfortunately, not yet we haven't been in the United States.
Right.
Not yet. It was always with a bit problems of, you know, to bring all the courses to America is always difficult, you know. They need special rules. The best rules are to go there are difficult, you know. But I always hope, I have the hope to go there and show everybody there what the school is. But I can tell you, this is one of the youngest schools in the world, in Europe. All the classical schools, like Vienna, like Saumur in France. And this is one of the youngest ones. It's only 40, since 72. The first time the school performed a show on the direction of Alvaro Domecq, who is the creator of the school, and we are all teachers, all pupils from this man. 72, he got the gold hall in Jerez, in the ferry of Jerez, and out of that he showed for the first time how the Andalusian horses dance. And this man, it's like our father, our second father, you know. I learned everything from my father, my grandfather, who were professional of horses. And but this man is something special. You have a monument of him just in front of the riding hall, and he's not anymore here, but he's still alive. He's a great man, and he got the dream of this school, and the dream that this horse and this rider could go very far away. Not only on the show also. In something so difficult like dressage competition, you know, because he believed on the Andalusian horse all his life, like my father did. He believed in the quality of this horse.
Now, you mentioned your father. Your father was a coach driver who then started a riding school, is that correct?
Yeah.
So how much of him, when you sit on a horse, is there?
I think many, you know. Without him, I would never been what I am been, you know, where I really did. I'm very, very proud of my family. On the father line, all the family always stay with horses, you know. Always his love and his job were with horses, you know. Riding, carriage, everything.
So you're born with it and born into it. Now,
I think
so. I know we have limited time, so I want to ask, I got to go meet your horse, Invisor. Talk about how important he is to basically the Spanish country and representing the Olympics. I know that you guys haven't had Olympic teams until him, right?
Yeah. You know, when I was young, because I born in Jerez, like my father and my mother and all my family born in Jerez, but for around 12 years I was living in Mallorca, in the island in the Mediterranean Sea. And then I met there a lot of, my father got a riding stable, I met a lot of people from Germany, Holland, all over Europe. And they always show me about the dressage, and you know, they were very proud about these horses, you know. And I said, always at that time, one day I will be Olympic with one of these Andalusian horses. And they said to me, well, these horses are nice, beautiful horses, but they are not good enough for dressage, so difficult, so you need a really very, very important horse. But, you know, sometimes dreams come true, and if you work hard, and you have a bit of luck, and you find people like Alvaro Domecq, he was very good friend of my father, and this is why, in the relation of them, then I come as a pupil to the school. At that time, I was living in Mallorca, but after that, after a few years, I come back to Jerez, and then I passed my examination, and then I was a pupil in the school. But after years, then I've been a rider, a teacher, riding teacher, and then I find the first time one horse that Alvaro Domecq gave me, it was a brother of Invasor, half brother called Flamenco. And when I saw that horse, it was 3 years old at that time, and I started to grow him. then I think of myself, when I see the horse moving, that this horse will be the horse who takes me to the Olympics. And it was true. This horse was the first Andalusian horse, was Spanish champion in 94. And after 94, I came in the team in 95. We made it for the first ever time a team. And this horse took me to the Olympics. He was lame at the Olympics in Atlanta, and this is why Invasor, I took Invasor, because he was very young. And you see how things go on, that with this horse, I take one of the more beautiful things that you can do in your life as a rider, is get an Olympic medal in front of everybody in the world watching you, you know. And at that time, my father died, already died a year ago, and he could not see the medal. But I'm sure he could see from...
I'm sure he saw it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Well, it has been amazing watching you this afternoon, sitting here drinking sherry with you. Cheers. And thank you very much for everything. And hopefully we'll see you maybe in the next Olympics. Maybe not London. We'll give you London off, but then after that...
Okay, more and more it's difficult to find such a good horse to go to the Olympics. But I have a lot of pupils who have good horses. And now it's the turn to help others, you know. And I have a very good pupil, and he's very young, and he has a very good horse. He was already in Kentucky in the World Cup game. His name is Jose Antonio, and his horse, his name is Norte. And I hope he can be in the Olympics this year. And we see his young horse still, and we hope I can help him, and we can also go up and have nice things coming on.
Well, if anybody wants to be a pupil of yours, they can go to the Epona Equestrian Center.
This is the main. They have a beautiful place here where I used to teach out of the school, and it's Epona, and the owner, Fernando Garcia, he's a great man.
Wow. I'm so sorry, the sound continued to get a little bit bad, but just to hear him say, basically, the reason he took Invasor to the Olympics in Atlanta was because his other horse was lame. Like, that's not a bad way to end up at the Olympics with a horse like that. It's like, oh, this one's lame. Let's just take this one and see what happens. And that ended up being his mount in Athens as well, where he did win the silver. And there has never been an Andalusian in the Olympics before him. So, actually, we got to meet Yeah, I know. So we posted the photo on our Facebook page, where Jennifer is with Invasor. And, oh, my God, this horse is huge. You think of an Andalusian like 15-2, maybe 16 hands. This horse is like 17 hands and just huge and impressive. And these Andalusian stallions are so calm and nice. And the problem is you see me in the picture and I'm kind of like trying to get close to him, but not because I have flip-flops on. And I'm sorry. There's just something scary about standing next to a horse when you're wearing flip-flops. It's too much.
You look like a little bug or peanut beside this horse. Wow.
He's
a big horse.
Huge. He is huge. And so Rafael Soto, super nice, smiley, friendly guy. If you listen to him, like, his father was his riding instructor and taught him as he was young and, you know, was a coach driver, basically, Glenn, and then started a riding school, taught Rafael. And as it continues, he passed away right before the Olympics and did not get to see his son standing on the pedestal. And like he said, he was standing there with me, I'm sure, you know. It was just really sweet and touching. I wish you could hear it better. But the awkward moment occurs when, after the interview, again, there's all these drunk Spaniards. I'm sitting there and Chad is sitting, and we're drinking sherry, which in that part of Spain is produced all around the countryside. And there's a couple different kinds of sherry. There's the really sweet, delicious kind, and then there's the really dry, pucker your mouth kind. And that's the kind that he ordered for us, and it was disgusting. But how are you not going to drink a drink that was just handed to you by an Olympic medalist who's granting you an interview? You just have to drink it. So I was sitting there talking.
Did you go into
I'm
a choking fit?
Oh, no. No, I didn't. It has nothing to do with the drink, my embarrassing moment, but just sucking that stuff down. Oh, my God, it was awful. And it's like noon. So who starts drinking at noon? But again, they take naps in the afternoon, so it's no big deal. So after the interview, I stand up. I've got my sherry. You know, we cheers, and then I kick the rest of it back. And, you know, in America, when I appreciate somebody and we're parting company, what do you do? You either shake hands, or what I do is I hug. I'm a hugger. Let's give a hug. Well, in Spain, they kiss you on your cheek. First,
right.
I think your right cheek, and then the added left cheek kiss. Well, I did not realize that they kissed twice. And so as I am saying farewell to Rafael Soto, I go in for the hug. He then goes in for the double kiss. I don't know which way he's going. And smack kisses me right on the mouth.
Oh,
right there. Right in front of my husband. I lean in, and this Olympic medalist right on the smoocher. And I'm like, and so then he kind of pulls back and looks at me funny and then like kisses the other cheek. But it was too late at that point. The awkwardness had already happened. I kissed the silver medalist on the mouth.
Woohoo! Only you. Only you could fly all the way to Spain, be at this just beautiful, you know, dressage school ever, at the Spanish riding school there, and you are that girl again. Only you.
I am always that girl. It does not matter. And then, of course, Chad's standing there, and he's like, well, that was awkward. <I'm> like, yeah, thanks. I know I was there.
So then did you just turn around and leave? I mean, was there more said, or was it like, okay, I need to get the hell out of here at this point?
I think pretty much I slammed down the rest of my sherry, which then I practically spit up and then walked out. It's like, peace, I'm out. Like, what do you do? What do you say? What are you supposed to say when you accidentally mouth kiss somebody who's just being cultural and trying to, like, do the mwah, mwah? I'm an idiot. I'm such an idiot. I'm sure he's like, that American girl just kissed me on the mouth.
In front of her husband.
In front of her husband. They're freaky.
Those Americans.
Oh, God. So there you go. That's my interview with the Olympic medalist. It's a wonder why I don't get to fly all over the world and interview people all over the world, because I do such a fantastic job.
Sound quality's great. You're making out with them after. You know what? He told all his friends, and they were lining up for interviews.
That's probably why all the Spaniards were in there. They're like, this girl is good for some action.
Let's take a break for her song today, and we'll be right back. Lisa from the Chronicle is going to be here to talk a little bit more about the history, some fascinating segments we've been doing with the Chronicle that we absolutely love. So we'll be back with that. But first, we are going to take our break for Equestrian Collections Product of the Week and a little All Hands on Deck by our friend Shay, our listener, who is probably listening right now. Hi, Glenn, back with you from the Horse Radio Network. I am here with Debbie with the Equestrian Collections Product of the Week.
This week I want to talk about the Tough Rider Lady Starter Back Zip Field Boots. That's a lot of words to say the starter field boots. These have been around a while, but these new ones, I'm telling you, I saw some the other day that you cannot tell them from leather. They just look exactly like leather. And for the price, we're talking, I mean, you know, $75 for a pair of tall boots. And the sizes are very generous as well. So if you're looking for a starter boot, one for trail riding, or one if you're not quite sure what you want to move forward into the more expensive boots.
Or for teenagers that are still growing at about 2 inches a day.
Yeah, these boots are amazing. They just look exactly like leather boots. And also, we also have them in children's sizes, excuse me, and we also have them in paddock. But I'm featuring the field boots because I was just amazed. just amazed when I saw them.
Now, there's a size chart on the website, because that's always a tough thing with tall boots, is the calf sizes and everything.
It is. Now, the way you measure for tall boots, you measure around the widest part of your calf, and it's important that you have the riding pants and socks on that you will be wearing with your tall boots to get an accurate size measurement. So be sure and measure that, and this particular boot has more generous sizings than I have seen in any kind of synthetic boot. So if you're looking for a nice, easy field starter boot for whatever reason, or if you want them for trail riding, this is an excellent one to look at.
All for under $75, and you can find it at EquestrianCollections.com. Just search for Tough Rider Lady Starter Back Zip Field Boot. Is All Hands on Deck by the Rigel Band with our listener Shay Horse Girl on the fiddle. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenda Geek here with Jamie Jennings, who will apparently kiss anybody in any country. Just line up. And we have Coach Jess over there in the producer seat. And this show today is sponsored by Equestrian Collections and also Fleece Works. Well, we have Really Bad Ads coming back tomorrow. Yes, we've gotten a couple people asked. Really Bad Ads will be back tomorrow at 10 o'clock. And for the winner of Really Bad Ads tomorrow, we have a set of Summer Winnies from Winnie Warmers. Summer Winnies will safely do what other fly wrap leggings often fail to do, and that's stay up It keeps your legs cool and provides a clean environment around the legs and keeps the flies off. The antimicrobial properties of the socks have been stepped up so that sores and wounds have the best protection from flies for healing. They are easier to get on with a higher level of compression. You can find out more about them at winniewarmers.com. That's W-H-I-N-N-Y, warmers.com. And thank you to them for providing the prize tomorrow. And I know Jennifer has had a lot of entries so far over the last couple of weeks. You can send them to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Get on Craigslist today. It'll take you 5 minutes to find some really bad ads and get them over to Jennifer. Now, a couple of weeks ago, Jamie, we had Wendy on, and she attempted it. She did really badass. She wanted to give it a try. And I gave her every one that was long, one paragraph or two paragraph sentences without punctuation. And she didn't do too bad. Not like you, but she at least tried. She gave it a shot.
You know, it was just your excuse to not have to read any of those yourself.
That was pretty much it. Yeah, that's right. Now, I did ask her to go back after she read the longest one and do it in a Southern accent, but she wouldn't.
She lives in Florida. She should be understanding of that. Now, I would like to let you know, I just sent the most awesome, I don't know if that's a word, the most incredible, really bad ad that a teenager wrote about the horse that she wants to find. And you have got to tune in tomorrow to hear this ad. I don't even think I'm going to let you read it ahead of time, Glenn, because it's that great. I mean, you can tell like a 13-year-old girl, 12-year-old girl, like totally like wrote this ad and is like totally looking for this horse. And this is exactly what I'm looking for, except for maybe it could have this and this and this, but it needs to have this. And then, well, it didn't really need that. I would more say like I wanted to have that. That is the exact ad. So I can't wait to read that one tomorrow.
That sounds like fun. It'll be back.
Woo-hoo. Yeah, really bad ads tomorrow. Don't miss it. So I think we have our next guest on the line. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Lisa is ready. Lisa from the Chronicle. Let's say, first of all, before we get into the Chronicle stuff, Lisa, I would like to let you know that I found your blog. I did.
It's not very exciting.
Well, it is, because what it does is it kind of chronicles your, well, obviously your move and your training with your horse and the fact that you have a horse trial coming up that is two back-to-back, and you've entered a beginner, novice, and then, oh, my God, novice. How
I know,
is that?
It's so scary.
I think it's great. I'm so excited for you. And I was just telling them this morning that I am, oh, my God, we have two back-to-back as well coming up in July. And I'm entering my first training.
Oh, my gosh. That is really scary.
I know. And I loved how you wrote in the article. You were like, oh, my God, the fences at novice are like 2'11", which is like, oh, my God,
that's
exactly 3 feet. And it's scary.
I know. It is scary. It's so funny because, like, I'll go to an event, you know, for the Chronicle, and I'll walk a course and be like, this is a pretty soft 3-star. But then I'll walk my own beginner novice course and be like, I don't know, this looks pretty tough. I'm not sure this is a fair test for the level.
I know. We walk around the Rolex course, we're like, this is easy. And then we're like,
yeah, like,
oh,
this
my
one's
God.
One's a breather. This one, you know, this is not too tough of a test. But yeah, then they'll be like, you know, a ditch that's maybe like 6 inches wide and 1 inch deep, and I'll be like, I just don't know about this.
I know. It is definitely different when you're doing it yourself. So that is for sure. But good luck with that. Please definitely keep us posted. And I'm
thanks,
just going to keep
lots of luck.
Yeah, no kidding. So when is the competition?
It's the first 2 weekends of July, and we're in Tennessee now. I moved to Tennessee, but we're driving back up to Middleburg to spend, like, I'm going up with Leslie Wiley of Horse Nation.
Cool.
She's going to compete at the events, too, so we're driving up and spending, like, 10 days in Middleburg again. So.
Oh, that'll be fun, and that's the exact same weekend I will be competing, too.
That's exciting.
I know. Well, I'll be sending some love y'all's direction.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, you guys have been counting back, basically reviewing the Chronicle throughout the many years, and I know you guys talked about, I think, the 50s when I was gone. So I guess that takes us up to the 60s.
Yeah, we have the 60s, and then yesterday we posted the 70s. And
the fashion,
man,
by
the photos
way,
photos from the 60s. Yeah, isn't it crazy? They saw all those breeches with the super flared hips and, of course, no helmets, especially in the 60s. Helmets were not a thing. Like, everyone is either wearing sort of bowler caps or just those top hats that didn't even have a strap.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, the photos from the 60s are the most amazing. Everyone should go on the website and check it out. It's chronoforce.com. There's this one of a horse sliding down an embankment, which looks like it's basically almost vertical. And it's hard to tell how far down it goes, but it looks like it goes for a long time, and the horse is just, like, sitting down, just sliding down this hill.
Oh, my God, I'm looking at that one now. You're right.
Isn't
it looks
crazy?
Like a mountain. That's nuts.
Like, there's
He's
no
going,
way.
Yeah. You're right.
And then the next one is this ditch that looks like maybe they were building a grave, and then they decided the horses should jump it. It's, like, I don't know, 6 feet deep and quite wide. And those were roads for the final exam of the Spanish Army Riding School, and they're just crazy.
And where can we find these pictures? They're on chronoforce.com.
They're on chronoforce.com. And then if you scroll down to the bottom of the page, you'll see, like under disciplines, under event team, that'll have the chronicle over the decades, 1970s, and then you can click through and find the 60s. So, man, they're just amazing. And then it's obviously really cool to read about because all these people that you've heard about for so many years are now, like, you know, this is when they were riding, like George Morris. And yesterday there was, in the 70s, there was stuff about Jack LaGoff just becoming the eventing chef to keep. And Tad Coffin was riding, and Michael Plum, and Bruce Davidson, you know, won the championships in 1974 and 1978. And it just seems like the golden age, of course. I think every age you look at seems like that, but really cool. And then in the 60s, we have Frank Chapeau, Bill Steinkraut, Cassie Kuzner, like all these people who are just the best of the best were all riding on these teams at the same time.
I was reading this earlier, and I got to tell you, Lisa, there were a couple things that really struck me. One was, let me read the beginning of this paragraph. In the early 60s, there weren't many advertisers in the Chronicle, and the same ads repeated for months on end. They were, however, high-end advertisers like Cadillac and Rolls-Royce.
Rolls-Royce wouldn't that be awesome if they still advertise with us? I think they should.
That's something else. And then
we also have cigarette ads, which is very funny.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
And I'm looking at an ad here for a new schooling helmet from Miller's. Miller's put out a new schooling helmet that's actually had a strap, believe it or not, and had a couple holes, for ventilation. And the price of a new brand new schooling helmet from Miller's in 1963. What do you think there, Jamie?
$20.
$14.
it looks
great.
Like a safari helmet or something, like something you would
it
wear.
Does.
It's like in a movie if you were going on safari or, I don't know, maybe even to war or something. But the coolest thing is if you go to the 1970s, the lead photo,
mm-hmm.
the guy is wearing a helmet cam. Or it doesn't look anything like helmet cams we have now. He looks like, I don't know, like, it looks like it's something from a sci-fi movie. Like, he's
wearing
an astronaut helmet. And then it looks like it could have been on, what was that show that was really popular, the really weird one?
Land of the Lost is what I was thinking.
Yeah, it's pretty hilarious. I cannot imagine jumping with that on your head. It looks like it weighs, I don't know, 30 pounds or something, 20 pounds. Seems like it would really hurt your neck.
Well, and what you see here is, so for those that don't have this, picture a giant motorcycle helmet from, like, say, the 1980s, where it's just that big dome over your head. And on the left side of the helmet is a giant camera. I mean, a big box, like, a big box, and there's a big lens coming out. And on the right side is just a big box without the lens, so that must be, like, where you keep the film,
battery.
Because it's got to be
the battery.
Filming.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the battery. And then there's all these
wires.
He also has
a cord running down, yeah.
Yeah, wires that go all the way down the front of his shirt that are then tucked into his pants that I'm assuming there must be some sort of something behind the saddle because the horse looks quite pissed. I'm not
going to
lie.
He's not, like, happy about whatever is going on in that photo.
Yeah, he definitely doesn't. So that's really cool. That was apparently Buddy Brown from 1978 when he rode Flying John. And you got to love the horse's names back then, too. Flying John.
Yes, there was none of these, like, ridiculous long European names. They were all very
Definitely interesting.
Well, Jamie, one of the big things in the 70s, and I'm reading here, this is funny, is the use, apparently what caused quite a controversy, isn't it funny how things change and don't change? It's the so-called, they call it the so-called martingale fracas, in which readers have found the property of a standing martingale on or off for most of the decade. So apparently this was an ongoing thing.
But there's also a poem.
Yeah, do you have it? Can you read it?
Yes. Okay.
I have it.
It was sent in apparently by Piero Santini. And it starts, "There are those who love the martingale and those who loathe its use. Some seem to like it very tight, while others use it loose. Whichever view the student shares, the pros and cons aren't few. One must admit their handiness when we aren't sure what to do." That's a poem that someone composed about a martingale.
That's great. That's great. Well, it definitely, everybody, please go check out cronofhorse.com, and then you can go through all the way through the 70s now. And, you know, the fashion in the 60s was kind of groovy. I kind of liked it. The fashion in the 70s was awful. But what I'm really excited about is the god-awful fashion from the 80s. I mean,
it's going to be terrible.
It's just terrible. So thank you, Lisa, for joining us. cronofhorse.com, and good luck at your competitions. We'll have to keep
you
in touch.
Yeah, we'll stay in touch about that.
All right. Talk to you soon.
All right, bye.
Bye.
All right,
amazing.
Before we go on, there's one I got to do. This is off the 70s article, and I want to read the paragraph because I have to preface this before I read the poem. "The women's liberation movement took a little extra time for the more traditional horsemen to get used to, and cartoons and letters published in the earlier part of the 70s wouldn't pass muster today. This poem, published only with the byline MMA on August 20th, 1971, serves as an example of the type of backlash against the women's liberation movement that seeped into the magazine pages from time to time." Are you ready for this? It's a poem called "Women Who Ride." "Oh, I'm terribly tired of women who ride, of their prancing around with a masculine stride, of the skin on their faces like elephants' knees, from the constant exposure to the sun and the breeze. And I'm sickened to death of the clothes that they wear, of the hideous hard hats regardless of hair, of the sag of their skirts and the bag of their breeches, of the knobby aspects their anatomy reaches. I'm unable to listen to talk. It's mostly a check, a canter, a walk. If I try to discuss the day's news or game, they tell me that Rosebud, poor darling, is lame. But what really gags is to see them out dancing when they're gated, their loins to be really entrancing. I'll spare you the picture. They do all they're able, but the poor neuter darlings still smell of the stable." Oh, my God.
Who
they published
wrote that?
It doesn't say. It was kind of an anonymous.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? What a pig.
That was actually published in the paper. That shows you, that was coming right out of the 60s after all of that. Wow.
Oh, my God. Women
That's
not
the
be
horse
riding
husbands of the
feet.
Early 70s right there, boy.
Poor, you know what? I'm giving my mama a big hug right now because the crap they had to put up with from men, unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I knew you'd love that.
I want to find out who wrote that. I'm going to stick my hand, choke them back in the past. Love to know what they think about the world now. You know what? You get what you get. Gets what you came for, okay? Now, before we go, unbelievable. Yeah, I'm done reading the Chronicle back. This is making me mad.
Hey, one other news story we need to cover today, and that's pretty big, actually, for racing. The Kentucky racehorse regulators have approved a ban Wednesday on the race use of Lasix. And it's going to start in 2012, and it's going to – Jennifer, do you have the info there, Jamie? It's going to start in 2013 with two-year-olds, and they're going to – or 2014 with two-year-olds, and they're going to bring it in slowly over the next couple of years. But it's – you know, Kentucky Racing's having a tough time anyway because it's one of the very few without casinos. And now to add this, there is concern that this is just going to – piss trainers off and kill racing. We'll see.
Well, you know, and what the commissioner, Tracy Farmer, says is that, you know, I think this is the right thing to do at the correct time, and we cannot succeed as a sport with drugs. And, you know, when Lasix was introduced, furosemide and Salix are the other trade names for it there, it was actually to stop EIPH, was exercise-induced pulmonary hemorrhaging, and what happened was the horses would breathe so fast that the blood vessels would in the lungs would burst, and then they would have nose blood coming out of their nose, and it can be very bad. And there are horses that really could benefit from Lasix, but as we know, and as we are, you know, unfortunately, in this state of America, people started to realize that it actually drew some water, I think, out of the blood and put it in the muscle. I don't know. It somehow made them, it was like speed almost. It made them a little bit faster. And so people started abusing it. And you just would not see a horse nowadays that doesn't run on Lasix. And unfortunately, people are using it on horses that don't need it. So sadly, it's not going to be used on the horses that actually could benefit from it. It's going to be completely banned, as you said. And I think it's a good thing because, again, sticking needles in horses before races is wrong. And it is wrong in so many avenues because you see it from an outsider non-horse person's perspective. They don't know what EIPH is, and the fact that some horses actually could benefit from it and be able to run and continue their career. No, they see it as they're sticking needles in horses' necks, and everybody does it now because they think it gives them an advantage. So I can't argue with the ban. I'm all for it. Let's get rid of everything.
And I think New York, Jennifer, doesn't New York have that ban and they don't enforce it or something?
The state of New York just decided to not use the ban. They had it on the table and they had to vote on it and say, yes, we're going to, similarly to Kentucky, they were going to bring it in step by step, and they had that opportunity and they got together, I think it was last week, and said, nah, we'll just continue as usual.
You know, and that's really bad because New York is the one place that they're coming under such fire for problems in the racing community in New York, and I know that the state just took over racing. So, you know, maybe they're just trying to not do too much all at once, but I just can't see that it can go on like this. It just really can't. And they need better drug testing and they need better scenarios. Now, they just announced somewhere, and I'll have to find the story, but the Blood Horse and the Daily Racing Form both did a story on how there's a computer program now designed to find horses that have potential for injury. And it comes up, and so they do more stringent veterinary inspections on these horses before the race. Now, you can find it at bloodhorse.com. It's right on the front page. My computer is conveniently frozen right now. But just things like that, like they're trying to find a way to make the racing industry better for the horses, and you just can't not but applaud that. And then I definitely love the idea of all of it.
Well, we'll see what happens with that as we go down the pike here. We'll see if they actually end up enforcing it or what happens. As I said, Kentucky Racing is they tried to get gambling through Kentucky many times. Every year it goes to the legislature, and every year they turn it down. So, you know, I'm not saying that gambling is the solution, but it's certainly helped a lot of the tracks that would have been closed by now stay open. Now, whether they're putting a lot of money into the racing side, or you know, whether that's actually working out for the racing side can be argued in some states. But we'll see what happens down the pike there. Jennifer, mm-hmm. could you please call Rolls-Royce and see if they would consider advertising? I didn't know they advertised in horse magazines. It's only been 50 sure. years, but maybe they consider advertising on a little radio show in the morning.
Rolls-Royce. Yeah, I'll hop right on that.
And could you please have them send a sample to Jamie and I so that we can make sure that we approve the product ahead of time?
We have to test drive. Yes. Maybe, we'll only keep it 10,000, 20,000 miles. That'll be good. Then we'll give it back.
Yeah, and can you ask him if it will pull a trailer?
Do they even make Rolls Royces anymore? I mean, you just really don't see them.
where we saw them? When we lived in Massachusetts. We lived on the northern shore of Massachusetts in Beverly area, which is a really wealthy area. That's where the bazillionaires live. And they have their summer homes up there. And there would be times, Jamie, that you would drive 5 miles to the store and back, and you would see multiple Rolls Royces and exotic cars that you just wouldn't believe. And they were going to the grocery store in their Rolls Royce. Just unbelievable cars up there. That you just didn't
Good
think
Lord.
Even existed in the real world. Something else.
Good luck. That's awesome. That's awesome. Hey, before we go, because I know we're going to get out of here a little bit early, I just wanted to let everybody know that the Lemulen in Germany is going on, and that's a 4-star and 3-star 3-day event. And it's going on right now. And I just wanted to give a little whoop whoop to all the Americans that are out there. We've got in the 3-star Julian Stiller and Enjoy Me. And these guys are all doing dressage this morning. Now, they've probably already done it because of the time difference. I think they rode at like 3 a.m. our time, our Eastern Standard Time. But Colleen Rutledge and Shiraz are at 9. Well, they're going this morning. Boyd Martin is with Ying Yang Yo and the 4-star. And Julian Stiller and Chapel Abel are in the 4-star. Now, check this out, Glenn. There was a jog up yesterday, and all 44 4-star horses passed the jog. That's fantastic. Now, there was one rider who was unable to jog their horse, and so somebody else had to jog their horse for them. Why were they unable to jog their horse? Because he was on crutches. And if you're on crutches, how the hell are you going to jump on and ride a 4-star course? Do you know who I'm talking about?
It had to be there's a couple of them on crutches right now.
Well, Peter Adkins. Remember he broke his leg in several places and then had surgery, and he was supposed to be going to badminton, and he really wants to be on the Olympic team with Henny Run, H.J. Hampton. And he actually was unable to jog his horse in the jog up, but no, he's riding dressage today and is going to hop on and do a 4-star course tomorrow for like Rolex, basically, the Mulen in Germany. How insane is that?
There you go. I guarantee his doctor has said he can't get on yet. He's going to do it anyway.
Well, my God, he wants to get selected for the Olympics, and he's, I can't run, but I can ride. Good Lord. That's crazy. I wonder if it's like in Seabiscuit when they're like, listen, George, you got to ride Seabiscuit because, he can't do it. And Red's hurt. Red had the broken leg, and the doctor's like, Red, if you ride in this race, you could shatter your leg and not be able to walk. And he's like, I don't care. I've got to ride. It's the Santa Anita. Have I seen that movie too many times? And then they're like, Henny, you've got to help Peter because his leg is broken and it might shatter and he'll never be able to walk again. I've got to qualify for the Olympics. How's that? You think that's what happened in the barn?
That's probably pretty good. And it's his leg, for God's sake. You kind of need that to stay in the saddle.
It's
going across
a little scary.
5-foot jump. We're not talking small here.
No.
this is not 2'11".
Yeah, so on Eventing Nation, they've got a photo of Peter Adkins, and Bettina Hoy is actually holding Henny, and they wrote, looks like Peter won't pass the jog, but Henny did.
That's pretty good.
Well, Well, good luck to all the guys out there riding at the Mule Inn this weekend, and you know, hopefully we'll keep you up to date on what Peter Adkins does. We'll check back tomorrow too.
All right, take care, everybody. You have a great day. Wear your helmet. They're $14.95 at Miller's. They're a brand new one. Just came out 50 years ago. You can grab it over there. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Jamie. Really bad
right,
ads.
Everybody.
Get them in.
Spay, neuter, and geld. Peace. I'm going to go mouth kiss his Spaniard. See you later.
Keep your mouth off of the guys here in Arizona, Jamie. Your husband's only going to forgive so many of those.